This episode contains discussion of sensitive topics. Please check the screen or the description for a full content advisory.
Especially like whether it be the girl, whether it be the parents, needs to take a step back and say, why is this fully grown man interested in my inexperienced teenage daughter? What does he see in her that he can relate to? Or the absolute most heinous situation that I've ever heard of. The family that let their daughter go get married without knowing what sex was.
We'll probably need a trigger warning for this whole episode because I'm about to talk about a couple things that are pretty heavy. You are setting your child up to be raped, whether maritally or not, sexually assaulted, you are telling your child they are an object for childbearing, because those same parents will educate their children on being a mom.
Yep, of course.
Absolutely. Will they teach the men to be a dad? And less so. Be a godly leader, which has absolutely no specific connotation, is what the men are taught. And yeah, it's insane. You are setting them up to accept and excuse abuse if they even recognize it.
Yeah.
And then if they don't recognize it, they're going to do what anyone who is raised in a culture that encourages you to constantly think about if you're sinning or not is going to do. And you're going to assume, like you said, you're doing something wrong. You're the problem. You're a bad person. And if you were just enough, that this person wouldn't abuse you.
Yeah.
Like someone making you have sex when you have said you don't want to have it, even if you are like begrudging and like, well, I guess, is rape. I don't care if you're married or not. Like,
no.
Here's, while we're on things that need a trigger warning, what I was going to say earlier is I feel like courtship culture is a, it's big words, but I think it's a breeding ground for pedophilia. I think it is.
Oh, don't get me going.
I will get you going. Because, first of all, I don't think a lot of it is based in protecting and educating your children. It is about controlling who your children are with, to what degree, because you have an idea of what you expect from them. You want to control them. They're toys. They are puppets. And they are a piece of your image that you are manhandling the entire time until you give them to someone else who you've approved of to manhandle them for you.
That
is someone who is dangerous. That's a dangerous mentality. And I think that is the, whether it's subconscious or not, the motivation for most courtship culture. And the reason I think that rolls into pedophilia, in my personal experience, I dated somebody 4 years older than me when I started dating him when I was 14 years old. So he was always of age and I wasn't. So like you could say, yeah, it's good because you were never alone. But also, basically, it was encouraged almost because the concept was like, oh, but they're like girls mature at a certain rate and guys don't. So if you date someone older, then you'll kind of actually be on the same level. And so that sexist mindset. And then if they happen to be a creep, you don't find out until you're married to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no, I don't know. To me, that's you're dating someone younger who could do something to your children later because you were never left alone with someone long enough to figure out you're a pedophile.
Well, and I think that rolls into just an issue that I've seen so often in and that you like touched on is fully grown ass men dating underage girls. And I'm not talking like, you know, like the difference between like 17 and 19 or even like 16 and 18 to a certain degree.
Right.
There's so much mental development that goes on in your teens. It's wild. But I'm talking like a 29-year-old man dating, or I'm sorry, courting a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, but it's okay because they're headed towards marriage.
Right. Well, okay, I'm sorry. She wasn't 16. She was 17. And that's fine because, you know, that gives them a year to court and then they can get married. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? I cannot. Okay. At the I'm 26. I cannot even remotely imagine myself wanting to date a teenager. What? Mm-mm. Why? The only reason they're so inexperienced, they don't know what they're doing. They have no life experience. And that's why these creepy grown-ass men are after these teenage girls, because they don't know any better. They don't know what to look out for. They will have no way of telling if this creepy, again, I keep saying it, this fucking grown-ass man, they have no idea if he's abusing them. They don't know if he's being, you know, if he's using their age against them, because he definitely is. Mm-hmm. There is, like, what the actual hell is going on in this culture that's okay? Like, why is that ever okay? And this is a thing that I thought we eradicated, like, in the 50s. I have a relative who was, shit you not, she got married at 15 years old to a 25-year-old man. And I'm like, it makes me rage just thinking about it. But, like, to think that we are carrying that mindset forward at this far, like, oh my God, what is wrong with you people? This is not okay.
The little boy side of that is, I've known multiple people where the male mentorship thing was not, like, oh, I'll be your mentor. And then they're alone with them all the time. And then stuff happens. And then they gaslight them and saying it didn't happen. And there's so much that happens. And I feel like that whole environment, the courtship mentality, the overall hyper-conservative mentality, all of that to me attracts people who are very narcissistic and who view people as a puzzle piece. You know, because it's essentially just that whole courtship mindset. I'm trying to kind of be respectful to, like, the non, you know, extremist versions of things. But, like, if the foundation of why you're teaching these kids this stuff is based on you controlling them, and then they have kids, and then they go down and control them, and you're just having these generations of people who are never taught to grow, self-explore, be different than what they were raised in, who are condemned out of their own thought processing because every single piece of autonomy is treated like a sin. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like it attracts people who know what's going on and who use that too. Like, you have to be extra careful about that. People who, air quotes, find God, but really they're just like, I can use this for my own gain. Yeah. There's a lot of that in churches specifically, I will say. I don't think I've ever been to a church where someone in leadership did not have some sort of sexual charge.
I have,
which is wild.
I definitely think it depends on there are certain types of churches for sure that attracts to, and it's usually the bigger churches have, like, small churches have their own issues sometimes, but usually not like that. Usually it's bigger churches where people can blend in and hide. Those are the ones where they can hide and they can rise through the ranks very easily because they're charismatic or whatever. Those are the ones that I don't understand. I don't understand the thing of, like, oh, well, I'm going to automatically trust this complete stranger with my family, with my children, because they're a Christian. No, but we are literally told in the Bible that we are all sinners and that we are all effed up individuals to a certain degree, or at least we have the capacity to be that way. So if we know that just because you're a Christian does not mean that you don't sin, that doesn't mean that you have the possibility of being a bad person, then why would you automatically assume that everyone around you is a good person? Like, you should treat them like every other person that you come across. You need to vet these people before you let them into your lives and or let them into a position of leadership. And I think that's where so many places do fall short, is they go in with this blind trust of people. And I was, I did the same thing. I went in with blind trust for people because I just desperately wanted to see the good in people, and I wanted to believe that all people were good. Turns out they're not. And that is a very hard lesson to have to learn. And I know way too many families that have had to learn that exact same lesson before. And it is horrible. And I feel so bad for them, and especially in the various ways that it happened.
It's terrible.
It is. I definitely agree with you that it can be a breeding ground. I don't think all churches are, and I don't think by any means that every situation is like that. But just use common sense. Use your best judgment. Don't just trust someone blindly because they claim to have the same beliefs as you. You have no idea what's actually going on in individual people's minds. You have absolutely no idea if they're actually just using that for their own advantage. So for Pete's sake, vet people before you let them into your lives and before you let them into your homes. And if there's any young people out there, especially if there's anyone who is in the super hyper conservative world, especially especially if you're a girl, like or sexed female AFAB person, like especially if you are, I'll just say girl because that's in the conservative world there are two genders.
Yes.
So if you are a young girl and a man, I'm not talking like a boy around your age. If a man is wanting to court you, like a fully grown adult man, please, 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 please say no. I don't care. There is automatically
go tell an adult.
Yes, there is automatically a power imbalance there because, and I know you don't want to hear this because I know I didn't want to hear it when I was a teenager either. They know more than you. They have more life experience. You could be physically smarter than they are intellectually, but they have life experience that you don't. They have more life experience than you. It's just not worth the possibility. And honestly, I feel like everyone in a situation like that, especially like whether it be the girl, whether it be the parents, needs to take a step back and say, why is this fully grown man interested in my inexperienced teenage daughter? What does he see in her that he can relate to? Why would he want to be dating her? I can assure you it's not for her worldly knowledge. You know, there's well, very like, clearly something that draws them, and it's nothing good. It's you know, there's why wouldn't this man want to connect with someone his own age or like with some similar life experience? Why? What is wrong with him? Is how stunted is he that he needs to go after a child, or does he just want her because he knows that he can manipulate her into the sort of person that he wants to see as his, you know, good little child bride?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And like socially, this is true, but it is far more extreme in Christian conservative courtship kind of communities because the social constructs that are taught that are sexist and toxic normally now also have a God complex where God made you that way.
Yep.
So like men are taught, or males, I guess, because they don't start out as men. Males are taught that essentially in dating they are hunter and female is prey. Yep. And female is taught the same thing. So man's goal is bag prize. Find big game, bag it. And female is taught essentially make sure what catches you isn't a predator and that's your bar.
Yep.
Psycho. That's crazy. That is crazy. Like think about what you're telling your child. You're telling your child it's fine, essentially, if they treat you like shit and even beat you sometimes, just so long as it doesn't cross, like, I don't know, like killing you. Like they it's crazy to me how many, and I'm trying to like not tell actual stories because they're not my stories. Right. But like any examples that I'm giving are like, I've personally known more than one person who has experienced these things because of courtship culture, because even if they are treating you terribly, you are not supposed to leave because God doesn't like divorce. I know you said you think it's like more like bigger churches and stuff like that, but I think it's probably most places of various sizes. Like our first church was very small. Like everybody knew everybody. And I don't want to give away anybody's, you know, any victim stories or anything like that. But there was really f***ed up like sexual stuff there. And basically because it was a small town church, the pastor, my dad was the only one in the entire church to say, call the police. This is a big problem. The rest of them were like, well, essentially like the God had a plan situation, and magically applies the hate the sinner, not the sin to that situation. And essentially, even the pastor did a sermon gaslighting the congregation and basically saying, if you're a good enough Christian, you will forgive what's happening. See, and it was a child, by the way.
That, I, I disagree that it's most places, but it is quite, there. It's the opportunity for that. There is so much possibility for that to happen that it's, right. And that is so, I can't wrap my mind around that. Like, I physically cannot wrap my mind around that, because no Christian I've ever spoken to would say, yeah, it's okay, we're just going to ignore the fact that this man's a child predator. Like,
it's wild.
What kind of weird ecosystem is going on in these places that is a thing? Because, like,
yeah,
that's no, excuse you, no. Like, the two places that I have heard of that happened, launched like a full scale, and not that exact thing, but like similar. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't want to go into it again because not my story to tell.
Right.
But that, like, they launched like full scale investigations. Like, those men were put away. And I know we keep saying men because they're unfortunately it the majority of times that this happens, it is men. We are not at all saying that only men are predators. Women are fully capable of it too. It's just for whatever reason.
We're also not saying that only women can experience sexual assault and rape.
Right, exactly.
There are a lot of men that just aren't allowed to talk about it.
Exactly, 100%. So it's not at that point. It's not a gender thing. It's an effed up person thing, and I cannot understand. I cannot fathom why people think that's okay. Like, I don't care. Like, the Bible even says, like, yes, God will forgive your sins, but you still gotta pay up. Like, you still have to, like, suffer consequences of your actions. That's not a get out of jail free card.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God is, he's a God of justice. Like, that's, you don't get to just escape the law. Like, I mean, if you want to, I'm so,
yeah, it's yeah, so much of hyper conservatism when you're a Christian is focused on sexual purity and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That is almost exclusively what you talk about, with the occasional actual Bible fact. But which to me is suspicious. Like, I feel like if all of these people need to teach about that so constantly, you're perverted. Why are you thinking about it all the time like that? Yeah. But anyway,
and
but,
I just want to say,
you know, it's
sorry, do you mind if I just interrupt real quick?
Yeah.
When we say hyper conservative Christian, like, you know, that sort of thing, we are talking like, these are borderline extremists at this point. Like, it's
basically a cult.
At that point, when you get that far deep into it, like, that's like extremist behavior. The idea that, oh, well, we can just ignore that this, you know, that there is a child abuser running around in our midst because he said he was sorry and God's forgiven him. So we can't. No, that's not how any of this works. Any sane congregation, any sane Christian individual would go, that is wrong. That is incredibly effed up. But when you're in that cult-like mentality of the extremist variant, it doesn't, like, I don't know. I can't get behind it. I don't understand it. Maybe because I wasn't, like, fully immersed in it. Like, my family and my parents are normal people. Like, and we just happen to be associated with them because that's what we are surrounded by.
Mm-hmm.
And it, yeah, anyway, sorry.
In our town, that's what most people are for some reason. Just, I said in our town, that's what most people were. It's like we both grew up around it, but not necessarily embedded in that kind of belief system.
Right.
But definitely were influenced by that. The, like, rooting ground for pedophilia thing, it is the purity mindset. That's what I was trying to say.
Mm.
So you're describing this untouched, pure flower who has never had sex before and who is innocent and all of these things, and that describes a child.
Right.
And when you have everyone in your life as somebody who, like, if you're raised into it especially, and your formative years are constantly being like told to look for those traits, mm-hmm. and also to not have sex until you're 1,000 years old, but to still look for those traits.
Yeah.
That is a child. Like, right. I know we talk about that a lot, but again, it's one of those things where you add a God complex to something that is already societally very sexist. And it is so, so dangerous because you feel spiritually entitled to, and even applauded for doing that because it's pure. Like, it's a very twisted, you're obviously a mental ill person if you're doing that anyway. You have a something that needs a lot of help to do that anyway. But, like, I think it's wild. And just on a smaller scale, it trains you out of autonomy and out of having preference and out of teaching yourself what it feels like to want or not want something. When a courtship society says, sex is only for one of you. It'll only be fun for one of you. I don't care if you're happy. You can't leave that person. No part of you grows up thinking, I need to learn what makes me happy, who I'm looking for, what I want to feel, who I want to be when I'm around that person, what kind of life I want to build with them. Like, you're not allowed to dream. You're allowed to open the Bible, reference the traits that the Bible already references, say, I want that in a person, and just regurgitate that. Like, there's only one thing you could possibly want in a person because you're filling this spiritual expectation and not treating you or anybody else like a human being with like multitudes of like detail and, you know, emotional baggage or lack thereof or anything like that. Like, you are not taught how to navigate any type, romantic or otherwise, of relationship outside of like pointing to traits that exist in the Bible, which I think is sad.
Well, and to add to clarify, or not clarify, but to add on to that, specific traits in the Bible. We don't, in those kind of situations, in those kind of societies, they cherry pick to no end.
You are so right.
And I know you and I disagree on this, but like that's not how it's supposed to. I mean, well, okay, I think you also would agree that that's not how it's supposed to be. I know you and I disagree on like religion, which is a topic we probably should circle back around to, because I did not make myself clear at all in the first one. it's a problem when you start, when you know there's people in power that are cherry picking from a vast amount of knowledge and then are just using that against people and saying, like, you have to be so focused on staying pure that is essentially the idol in your life. Like, that is essentially what you are. You are no longer worshiping God at that point. You're worshiping purity. You're worshiping, like, the idea of not having sex with somebody until you marry them.
Which backfires in so many ways. Mm-hmm. But to me, one of the main ways, like even just psychologically, non-religiously, how that backfires is, think about this. If you are a family who doesn't hyperfixate on that, your child probably also doesn't really think about sex or anything like that until they're of an age where their body's starting to crave it.
Yeah.
And then you have the conversation, or you have it a little before that, so they're ready, or however your family handles it. As opposed to someone who, like, out the womb, you're hearing, don't have sex. And you're like, I'm four.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is sex? You know what I mean? Like, you're almost teaching people to think about it all the time by telling them not to think about it all the time.
Exactly.
It's wild. I have one more thing and then I was done, but I don't remember it. Oh, yeah. It was just a TikTok that I thought was just as a general, if you're parenting at all, thing that I thought was really, really good. This person said, toxic parents will treat children like they're adults who know that what they're doing is wrong. And I think so much of that happens in that kind of courtshipy culture. Like, you're already treating these people like they're someone who would go have an affair or go get pregnant at 13. You're treating them like they're adults who know everything about their body and about relationships and about what they want and don't care and are doing it wrong anyway.
Yeah.
And
but you're also infantilizing them to the point where it's like you can't be trusted to know what you want, or you can't be trusted to be alone with the member of the opposite gender, because what if you just give in and go crazy on each other? Like,
we need to watch you court until we pick someone for you who we think can control you and keep you in this position because you're too stupid to have autonomy in a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, it infantilizes like it infantilizes men and women in that situation, mm-hmm. because it's like, men, you can't control yourselves. If you see a shoulder, you will mm-hmm. lose your ever loving mind, black out and come to and you've just made love to half the universe. Like, what? Mm-hmm. No, that's not mm-hmm. how that works. But at the same time, it's like,
find someone who can cook and clean for you, because you're just not as good at that. I mean, that's, you know, just, male infantilizing as well.
Yeah, you're just like a little baby who you can't control your urges, and you just don't know how to do things. So you have to have a woman to do it for you. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, women, you're in charge of this giant baby. You have to take care of your giant baby. That is the first child you will ever have, is your husband. You have to like make sure. And the thing is, if and oh God, we could get into all different things, but like, you know, if you cause a man to lust, that's on you. Like that, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. in itself leads into a very dark, dark road. Mm-hmm. And that is.
Yeah. Parents, listen to yourself. You are shopping for a dad your daughter can get by.
Yeah.
And you're also shopping for a mom your son can like think about yourself.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
That's not no.
That's weird. That's perverted.
A little bit, yeah. And the family enmeshment is so high in that whole thing, which hold on. Do I need to find the do you know the definition of it, or
families where personal boundaries are diffused, subsystems undifferentiated, and over concern for others leads to loss of autonomous development. In other words, I think it basically puts extremism on your role as a representative of the family, and where's a better way to say this? Where's another definition? This is from Healthline. In an enmeshed family, there are no boundaries between family members. Instead of the strong bonds that signal a well-functioning family unit, family members are fused together by unhealthy emotions. Usually, enmeshment is rooted in trauma or illness.
Yeah.
So it's essentially the whole family being codependent.
Yeah. Which is obviously an unhealthy dynamic, but it is one that is almost prized in that sort of circle. But
mm-hmm.
anyway, I think I'm all ranted out about that for the moment. We will definitely wind up circling back to more, I guess, topics related to it at a later time, because there's just so many issues, and it's, you know, it's only when you get through it and you get past it that you can look back and go, wow, that was messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I fully believe that if I hadn't been so in that culture, like, I don't think my first relationship would have wound up the way that it was, at least not to that degree. I don't think it would have gone that far if I had also, and this is I'm introducing another topic real quick, but In that culture, it's also very, very, like, you don't talk about your relationship problems.
Oh, yeah, because, communication's non-existent. Yeah,
you don't talk about relationship problems outside of your relationship, because that's detrimental to your relationship. Which, to a certain degree, sure, you don't want to go just, you know, bitching about your spouse or whatever, if they left the toilet seat up again, like, whatever. But if it's like, yeah, they don't seem to find me physically attractive at all. What are they like? And they use physical affection as like a bartering tool. Like, I have to do something if I want a hug. Like mm-hmm. no, that's the kind of stuff you need to be talking about. You need mm-hmm. to know is not okay.
It's also not safe to have basic conversations about boundaries with people typically when you're dating in a courtship relationship. And I think it's, again, that God complex where, like, I am the head of the family and you're questioning me.
Yeah.
Like in that scenario where you said your ex lied really quickly and it made you feel insecure.
Yeah.
You should feel very safe and comfortable saying, hey, maybe this is just me being insecure, but like, it made me really uncomfortable how quickly you lied.
Yeah.
I need some reassurance here. And the response should be, oh yeah, here's an answer. But so many times, you know, like when I was dating previously in that whole environment, it would be absolutely immediately the person would be combative. You can't have a basic conversation. Mm-hmm. It's, you're questioning me. Are you saying I'm a bad person? Are you saying I'm a bad Christian? I'm the head of the family. That whole energy is like encouraged.
Which to in that situation, I actually did ask him. I was like, you know, why did you just lie to your mom? And he came up with an answer real smooth on the fly, because he was lying to me and he was a liar and that was his whole thing. Yeah. But
yeah, you know, I wasn't saying that was your situation. I'm just saying in a situation like that, you know. Yeah.
Anyway, let us know if you have either experienced or have grown up in a situation similar like that, or if you've witnessed it in any way, shape, or form. The Duggars, for example. Mm-hmm. If you've even seen any of that, that's the kind of level we're talking about.
And, yeah, I've met them because they went to our shows, our plays. Yeah. That's how close to that kind of extremism we were.
Right. So if you have experiences with that, please let us know. We would love to hear about it if you feel comfortable sharing, or if you have anything to add that maybe we missed or forgot to talk about in this one, please shout it out, and we will hopefully see you we will hopefully see you tomorrow, because we will be here, and we hope you are too. Have a good evening or day or whatever. Bye.